but things happen. Things happen.
Insure your farm, home, and automobile with us and get a multi-policy discount. This is Ann Walsh. For a free quote, contact Romzik's Farm and Town Agency in Bad Axe at 269-8382.
The Michigan House has passed a bill that would require drivers to buy a new license plate every 10 years. The bill approved Thursday was sponsored by Republican Representative Wayne Schmidt of Traverse City, and it would bar the Department of State from renewing any plate that was at least a decade old beginning in 2015. This is what Schmidt had to say about the legislation.
This is both a public safety concern, making sure license plates can be read by emergency personnel, and also making sure that the taxpayers aren't charged more. This is about efficiency in state government.
Schmidt chairs the House Transportation Committee and said lawmakers are looking at their other options as well.
We also look at a study on whether or not we want to stay with the stamped metal plates or go to digital plates, the vinyl ones that many other states have gone to. Again, it's talking about efficiency and effectiveness in our license plate manufacturing.
The goal is to ensure that all license plates on the road are readable. He says the law already requires legibility, but it's enforced only through police citations. Schmidt says Michigan's weather, the use of road salt in the winter, and power washing are good reasons to update plates more frequently. The bill passed 74-33, now goes to the Senate for consideration. Legibility, they have to be legible. The state says 45 Michigan communities will get a share of nearly $500,000 through the Wellhead Protection Grant Program to help safeguard public water supply systems. The Department of Environmental Quality announced the funding this week. The DEQ says groundwater is the sole source of drinking water for nearly half of Michigan's households, and the grants are an important part of protecting the groundwater supply. Funding includes $2,000 for Vassar and Tuscola County and over $6,400 for Davison. A list of communities and grants is posted on the state's website, and a link is available on ours, thumbnet.net, with the written news story. On Thursday evening, State Senator Mike Green of Mayville was the keynote speaker at the Second Amendment Town Hall meeting with the Western Thumb Tea Party in Vassar. National Rifle Association Field Representative Al Herman also was a speaker. Green says the main reason why this is such a concern for him is that with the Second Amendment, the bigger context is freedom. In 1999, then Representative Green authored Michigan's Shall Issue Concealed Carry Law. He says he is pushing for more relaxed laws because it's your right to protect yourself, period. Exercising that right is a choice. The poll was done in Green's district during the Medicaid expansion debate that also asked voters about Second Amendment issues. Green says the results came back showing that 85% of voters in his district, Arnick, Bay, Tuscola, Huron, and Sanilac counties, believe in or support the Second Amendment, and 65% believe that someone should have a gun inside school buildings to protect children. Governor Rick Snyder vetoed Green's last piece of gun legislation, Senate Bill 59, which would have eliminated some so-called pistol-free zones, including stadiums, hospitals, and schools. Green says he is confident that with new wording and a different focus, the governor is more likely to sign the new bill. A popular fishing site on the Au Sable River will be reopened following the completion of a construction project. Plus, we'll get updated on the latest grain prices from the Cooperative Elevator Company when WLEW News returns.
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came.
This is Amy from Thumb National Bank and Trust Company. We'd like to invite you to this year's Fall Harvest Celebration and 9-hour sale this Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. All of us at Thumb National Bank invite you to pigeon this Friday to enjoy special sales at our local businesses and also pick up some baked goods with all proceeds to benefit the Pigeon Food Pantry. We're also having a pumpkin gourd decorating contest, a mum sale, and enjoy a bean soup lunch fundraiser at the Pigeon Village Hall from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for just $5.
You wanna be where everybody knows your name.
It's all at Pigeon's Fall Harvest Celebration and 9-hour sale this Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. throughout Pigeon. Thumb National Bank and Trust Company of Pigeon, Caseville, Cass City, and two locations in Bay City, where relationships are built on trust. Member FDIC.
A popular fishing site at Consumer Energy's hydroelectric plant at the Foot Dam on the Au Sable River has reopened following a construction project. The unit of Jackson-based CMS Energy Corporation says the site near Oscoda in Michigan's northeastern Lower Peninsula has been closed since May. The fishing site, which is used in particular during salmon and steelhead runs, is operated under a lease agreement. It reopened Thursday. Consumers Energy says minor construction activity will continue at the site, such as sign installation and cleanup. Foot Dam was completed in 1917, and the powerhouse includes three turbine generators capable of producing about 30 million kilowatt hours of energy annually. Consumers Energy and the State Department of Natural Resources announced the plans for the project in 2012. The following are cash bids from the Cooperative Elevator Company as of 5 p.m. on Friday, October the 4th of 2013. White wheat is at $6.77, red wheat $6.17, corn $3.88, and soybeans $12.20. For navy beans and black beans, call the Cooperative Elevator Company for more information. Keep in mind, trading hours are continuous, but will be closed between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For updated market information, contact any of their plant offices or check out their website at coopelev.com. For the latest in Thumb Area news anytime, go to thumbnet.net. The following is a Thumb Area death report. John P. Kowalski of Minden City passed away at the age of 97 on Wednesday, October the 2nd at Courtney Manor in Bad Axe. Massive Christian burial will be held at 11 a.m. on Monday, October the 7th at the St. Patrick Catholic Church in Palms. Burial will be in the St. Patrick Cemetery in Palms. Visitation will be at the Smigelski Funeral Home on Cass Avenue in Minden City on Sunday from 2 until 8 p.m. and Monday from 10 until 11 a.m. at the St. Patrick Church only. There is to be a parish vigil service on Sunday at 4 p.m. at the Knights of Columbus Rosary at 7 p.m. Both services will be held at the funeral home. Memorials have been requested for masses or for the Family Discretionary Fund. Please visit SmigelskiFuneralHomes.com to express your sympathy and share stories with John's family. For complete written Thumb Area obituaries anytime, you can visit thumbnet.net to find those as well. For WLEW News, I'm Brian Terry.
All the WLEW sports action in more ways than ever before. Stream online at thumbnet.net or download the Cruise 102 app on your Apple or Android device. We've taken a look at the other area games, and you're listening to the WLEW Sports Game of the Week. Bad Axe on the road at USA's homecoming in week number six on what appears to be a misting week number six here in Thumb, Michigan.
Misting. Looks like almost like rain in the forecast, but maybe not until later on. I'm not too sure.
We're going to have to look at the game day forecast.
Well, we'll wait till we get there.
That's right. Let's take a look at the Bad Axe Hatchets right now. They're 1-4 and 1-3 in the Greater Thumb West. The Hatchets are coached by Mark Minetti, a smash-mouth football coach now in his third season at Bad Axe. The Hatchets are coming off of a 2-7 season last year. They try to match that record tonight, only two-thirds through the season. They've started to come out of their shell a little bit, changing to a spread-type offense, in part to their emerging starting sophomore quarterback, Tommy Morneau.
Tommy Morneau, he's a little undersized, but very quick. Seems to have a pretty decent arm, too. Last week against Bay City, he had 265 yards on the ground on 26 carries and scored twice. He was also 8 for 10 through the air for another 65 yards and threw for that one touchdown as well.
With Morneau being able to scramble from the backfield, it opens up a lot more options downfield, including Tyler Labor, Bailey Hines, and Jake Kennedy.
Jake Kennedy's brother. That's correct. One of my favorite options out there is Tyler Labor. He's very tall, lanky, and fast. You know, he can really grab a ball out of the air from anywhere. He actually ran for a score against Bay City last week and also caught seven passes against Cass City in the week prior for 45 yards and a score. Bailey Hines is another pretty dependable receiver. He was 5 for 5 in catches per attempt against Cass City. And Mitch Kennedy also had quite the play, if you remember, Clark. They threw that pass downfield, and it was the defender and the receiver kind of crashed into each other, and the ball was flailing in the air, and Mitch ended up making a spectacular catch and taking it all the way to pay dirt. It was a fantastic catch.
Last week against Bay City All Saints, getting to the mix was Joey Amon, who caught a pass for a touchdown, as well as Jared Brown, who returned to kickoff for an 88-yard touchdown.
Sometimes, Clark, special teams is so important. It goes undervalued most times. Good punts can help defenses pin back better offenses and make them go